the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Hey there, my name is Brandt. Little reminder, pretty cool. If you want to take advantage of this, we have a phone number, 855-90-BRANT. Mm-hmm. So it's 855-90-BRANT. If you ever have comments, nice. Polite comments about the show, we're happy to hear those.
Yes, we listen through all of them. I do.
Yeah.
And
Sherry filters some out so that I don't get discouraged. And I'm okay with that. I really am. I appreciate it. She's like a mother bear protecting the
psyche of cubs,
the cub's feelings. She's like a mother bear that answers the phone and then was like, I don't want my cubs to hear that.
My cubs can't take that. They can't take it.
They're trying real hard and they don't need that right now. So, but anyway, it's 855-90-BRANT. Pretty awesome news. I don't know if you heard this. New emojis are coming out.
Oh.
And finally. So I guess emojis, you're supposed to express emotion.
Yes.
With them?
That's okay. Emoji.
Emotion. I've never been able to using them until now. The new ones are coming out.
Why?
Well, just none of them. I can't express myself with them. Like, that's not my emotion.
What are the new ones?
There's a llama.
Okay.
And there's a chess piece.
Okay.
And frankly, those two used in any combination
is all that you've been looking for personally.
That's all I've been looking for. Now I can.
Can you give us an example?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're like, hey, Brandt, how do you feel about that? Llama chess piece? Or I might do chess piece llama.
Okay.
But that is what's in my head. Okay? So I can finally get it out there. Yesterday, we talked about Jesus' favorite subject, which is the kingdom of God. We love talking about that. Well, tonight, something awesome's happening that is a great illustration. If you want to see it, like in three dimensions, what the kingdom looks like, at least one aspect of it, it's called Night to Shine. Do this every year. Tim Tebow Foundation is involved with this. We've been involved with this for years, like having an event at a church. It's a red carpet event with limousines and paparazzi and the like makeup artists, treating people like celebrities, celebrating them, people with special needs. It is one of the most beautiful pictures of the kingdom that you'll ever see. And then there's this great dance, which is a great part of it. There's wonderful food.
I love it.
Oh.
Everyone's a king and queen. They're all crowned king and queen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so you get to shine shoes if you show up as a volunteer or get to be a makeup artist or something or get to be paparazzi. It's so beautiful. And if people could see that, I'm like, this is a great picture of the church. If people saw that, if that's the way we operated 365, for instance, I think you'd have a hard time of like stopping people from getting in the doors in some ways. If you ever want to connect with us via the phone, it's 855-90-BRANT, B-R-A-N-T.
Hi, my name is Heather, and I was calling because I was listening to your radio show, and you had a definition about forgiveness on there, and I can't remember exactly what you said, but I liked it, and I wanted to write it down and remember it. It was something about forgiveness is releasing the bitterness in you and trusting God to do something, and I can't quite remember the whole thing, and I was hoping maybe you could say it again on air or even post it on your Facebook page, because I'd like to write that down and stick it where I can remember it, because it was a really good definition.
It is, and it's not for me. It's from Rachel Denhollander, and we've had a ton of people ask for this or for me to repeat this. So she's one of the victims of this Larry Nassar guy from Michigan State and the U.S. gymnastics thing. Well, she got up and spoke about her forgiveness, that she's willing to forgive him. But there's more to it than that. It's not like people hear forgiveness and they go, oh, you're just, doesn't matter then. You just don't care anymore. That's not what forgiveness means. It's way harder than that, honestly, because it necessarily means letting go of your bitterness and anger because of God's justice. And so this is what she said. What it means when I say that I forgive Larry Nassar is that I trust in God's justice and I release bitterness and anger and a desire for personal vengeance. It does not mean that I minimize or mitigate or excuse what he has done. It does not mean that I pursue justice on earth any less zealously. It simply means that I release personal vengeance against him and I trust God's justice, whether he chooses to meet that out purely eternally or both in heaven and on earth. End quote from Rachel Denhollander. If you're going to forgive somebody, it means letting go of your anger. Again, that's really hard. The way we'd like to craft it is, oh, I forgive them, but I'm going to hold on to my anger. Mm-mm. No, it's because God has, what he's done for you gives you the resources to do this. And also knowing that his justice wins in the end gives you the resource to do it too. Can I pass along a little love lesson for Valentine's Day coming up?
Okay, like, sure.
There's this, bear with me for a second. Like you haven't borne with me this whole show.
We're bearing.
Okay, bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
There's this ice cream that just came out, and they're marketing it at this place in Glasgow, Scotland.
Sure.
It's pepper. Carolina Reaper pepper, Scoville level 1,569,000 SHU. That means it's extremely hot pepper that they use in this ice cream.
In the ice cream.
Right. Mm. Okay, so... here's my lesson for you. And you have to sign a thing saying, I'm not going to sue the ice cream store.
Oh, if this okay. Mm-hmm.
The guy in me wants to, like, I'll try that.
Okay.
I'll do it.
For you.
Right. The guy in me is like, okay, you're telling me this is so hot that you can't stand it. Well, then I want to try it and then
amuse myself. It's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
Sure.
Okay. But been married for a while. Mm-hmm. Please know, and I'm passing this along to younger guys that are maybe newly married.
Yeah.
Your wife will give you no sympathy for something like that. All right? So what's going to happen is you're going to be in pain. And no one's
going to care.
Even your wife, your best friend,
will
give you any sympathy.
That's a good tip. Yeah.
She will give you sympathy. The pain comes for a purpose.
Okay, right.
But if it's for, watch me do this.
When everyone tells you it's going to hurt and it's going to cause pain and you do
and
it anyway.
You even signed a thing.
Yeah.
Don't expect her to be like, oh, you poor. Well, that was really valorous of you to try that ice cream.
That's
She's
an
not.
Amazing marriage tip.
Thank you. That's for you. Pretty awesome thing for you here. This is a service for you and it's called Survival School. And I will teach survival methods and lessons that I've learned over time that I can inculcate to others. And so what I'll do is I'll give you a scenario, and then you'll have 5 seconds to figure out what to do in that scenario.
Okay.
We'll see if you can get it right.
All right.
See if you would survive in that total situation. You ready for this?
I'll try.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
That's good.
The scenario is this. It's a beautiful day, and you're at Panera, and you're getting a salad, and you're going to the pop line to get some pop out of the thing, and everything's good. And then you happen to know, by the way, you just happen to know that underneath... the Panera is a cellar that has what?
Why would she know that? Why would she just happen to know that about the Panera?
Everybody knows that at this Panera, underneath the floor, which is wood, there's a cellar that has a pack of hungry wolves.
Uh-uh.
Okay?
Uh-uh.
So you're walking around Panera. Just go.
Okay, fine.
Accept it.
Fine.
You're walking around Panera, and then, oh my goodness, a hole is forming right beneath your feet. In this wooden floor, and you're starting to fall,
mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Because as you know, there's a pack of wolves down
right.
there.
And they're starting to bark and stuff. So what do you do? What now? What do you do? You got 5 seconds. Go!
Go behind the counter and start grabbing all the food and throw it in the hole.
Hmm.
So they don't want to eat me.
That's not bad. That could distract them, right?
No, that won't work. What you're supposed to do whenever a hole does something like that, if you feel like you're falling through the floor, put your arms out as wide as they'll go, palms down. That way you expand the surface area and you can catch yourself on the way down. Don't kick your legs as they're dangling into the wolves area. You don't want to do it. Keep totally still so that they don't notice. They'll just feel like, you know, something inanimate is there. And that way you're able to balance yourself, push up with your forearms, and you'll be safe.
Okay.
Okay?
Now you know.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
It is good.
If you know Panera has a pack of hungry wolves under it, maybe don't go to that one.
Yeah. Find a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you could live your life in fear and make all your decisions based on that. Or you could just be prepared. I bet you've learned this lesson. I've learned this lesson. I learned this lesson with Legos and Duplos and stuff and blocks. And that is this lesson. It's way easier to knock stuff down than to build it up.
Mm-hmm.
Way easier. It takes 1 second to knock down the tower. It can take 20 minutes to put it up. This is true over and over and over, even in our culture, in our personal lives. It's easier to mock something than to come up with your own thing. It's easier to poke holes in something than to actually be a light for people. It's always easier. It's easier to get on Twitter and make fun of someone than it is to be something. It always is. This is not who I'm called to be, though, so I have to ask myself that, like, hey, Brant, you're great at mocking stuff, but what about being something? It's hard. It's way easier to pull people down than it is to lift people up. You notice that? Way easier to nullify than to, if you don't mind me kind of rhyming, than to edify. Edify means build up. But it's just so interesting how that works. And man, we're full of people. Our culture's full of people. And I'm full of this impulse in myself to mock and tear down instead of being something great. Philadelphia Eagles had their big parade in Philadelphia. Congratulations to the Eagles. They are the champions. They did get the trophy. They did win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This always reminds me of a big theological question, though, if you don't mind. Because people will say this about God. And I understand, but let's think it through. The thing is, why does God have to have us tell him how great he is? How arrogant is that? We have to sing his praises. We have to say this and that about him. Okay, well, I liken it to this trophy ceremony. Hmm. The Philadelphia Eagles, we could be like, oh, now you have to have a trophy? How arrogant. A parade? Well, you know what? They did win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It is true. They get the trophy. It's not arrogant of them to say, hey, can you hand us that trophy there? I mean, we did just win the game. That's not arrogant. They won. It's true. It's not arrogant for me. You know, if my kids are 8 years old and they're like, oh, so you want us to call you dad, like you're our father. I am your father. I am your dad. It's true. It's not arrogant. It's true. Well, if God's the creator of the universe and he knows how we flourish, he knows what's best for us, and he tells us to speak the truth out, to say it, to sing it, say it. He's actually the king, to acknowledge it. Because we'll acknowledge it eventually anyway, but like, giving us the opportunity to do it now, like, I don't think it's arrogance. He's just going, yeah, man, it's true. He is the king.
This always gets people fired up to talk about this
because we can get judgmental about it really fast too, and we've all got opinions, but there's this a huge group of people that say they love Jesus but don't belong to a church community.
Oh, I read that.
Oh, did you?
I did, yeah.
Christianity Today, big article about it, the number of people, and of course, it's like, how dare they? Look, if that's you, I understand. I get it. A lot of us have been through a lot of stuff. That said, you know this probably. I think most people who are in that category know it too. Like, this is not an individual sport we're playing here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying I'm in the NBA, but I don't want to be on a team. Like, no, you are the church by virtue of the fact that you are a follower of Jesus. And there's like 37 or something like that. I've heard that. I didn't count them, but somebody said 37 places in the New Testament where we're told to do things for one another. So how do you one another stuff? How do I?
When you're just one and not another.
Just myself. Exactly. I have to find another to do that. And the same thing goes, honestly, because people be like, well, I go to a church. I see the worship band up there and I listen to a sermon. So therefore, I'm doing what God said. No, how do you one other in that environment too?
Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
Right. So a lot of people are like, I don't see the value of just sitting there watching something. I don't either.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I don't. But this one another thing, like you have to be in community. There's no other way. This is the way God intended it. And it's such a great picture to the world of something different because we stick it out, even though we've got problems with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else breaks apart. Everything in the world breaks apart. But if we don't, what does that say? You know, every industry, including yours, if you got a job, there's secrets to success in that job. Well, the secret to success in this job is, frankly, to shock people.
Hmm.
That's how these guys get, like, all the buzz. Like, oh, I can't believe he said that. He's so crazy. Oh, wow, aren't you crazy? I'm so crazy.
Can't you just be entertaining or inspirational?
No, insightful, no.
No, no, no insightful.
What you want to do is shock. And so I'm going to shock you with some information.
Do they announce shock? Don't they just do it?
So I'm going to sneak up on you with some information right here about an asteroid today.
Okay.
Think about this. This asteroid news?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 39,000 miles from Earth.
Okay.
That's kind of shocking.
Oh, that's the shocking part.
Sherry.
Brent.
39,000. Okay, so the moon, as you know, is 239,000 miles from Earth. 239. So it's within the orbit. It's that much closer to Earth than the moon.
Is it going to hit us?
No.
Anywhere close to hitting us?
No. Well, the point is, like, the moon, it's pretty close, right?
Yes, it is.
This is way closer.
Way closer.
And that's pretty shocking.
Are we going to be able to see it? When?
I don't.
Exasperation is not part of shock jocking, Grant.
There aren't follow-up questions. What you're supposed to do, everybody disperse. And you go to water coolers,
well,
and then you go,
understand.
Oh, I got guy on the air, man. That was shocking.
But we don't get it.
I don't have all the information. Just be shocked and buzz about it. They tell you that friends are so important. That's what friends are for, that old song.
Mm-hmm.
Or get by with a little help from my friends.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Yeah, I guess friendship doesn't count for anything anymore.
What are you talking about?
Well, this one lady had her friend help with her job, and now they're all upset about it. She lost her job because he's helping, and it's like, so I guess you can't get help from your friends. That's what I take from this.
What is the job?
She's a dentist, and he helped do some dental work. He worked on 600 people drilling cavities without local anesthetic, so he didn't use anesthesia.
Is he a dentist?
No.
Okay.
So he didn't use anesthesia. He installed expensive fillings that crumbled within days, sure, often leaving patients in agony. So
your takeaway is,
I thought
it's an assault on friendship.
I thought that friends should be able to pitch in to help each other out, but I guess they're going to be so persnickety about it that you can't.
Well, I'm asking if someone's friend was working on your teeth and your filling crumbled.
The point is that friendship should trump
everything.
Friendship wins.
Friendship
That's what
wins.
I say. Tried to do a joke the other day on the air that kind of dive bombed. It was like one of those, I was trying to do like one of those radio guy things. Like, oh, this is going to be funny.
Yeah. And it started out okay, but then it went a little south.
Got dumb real fast. Anyway, this lady is okay with it?
Hi, Brent. This is Kathy. I wanted to let you know that your comment about Miss 2UU, it was not a failure. That has kept me laughing all day because I've been singing a tribute to her efforts in this world, and singing happy birthday to you has been cracking me up, so keep up the good work.
Oh, good.
Okay.
I feel better about that.
So,
yeah. My joke was, her name's 2UU, that's her name.
Right.
So, like, happy birthday would be difficult. And
happy birthday to you.
So we realized midway through talking about that, this isn't really very funny. But if it reaches one person,
then it's all worth it, isn't it?
It's worth it.
It is.
I feel better. What I'm about to say is going to generate emails of complaint, but that's okay.
Okay.
Because I mean well, and I hope you can understand what I'm saying here. You may be one of these people who doesn't feel totally content in your relationship with God. You feel a little discontent with it. Like, and then you see other people that just seem enraptured with their religious experience, or with, you know, how they, how close they are to God, and they're totally, everything's awesome. And I don't want to make fun of those people. I'm not going to. But if you're somebody who's kind of discontent with it, you're still yearning for something more, I think there's something very possibly very right about you. Because here's why. Like, we're not in heaven yet. And God promises to restore everything, and there's going to be a fullness to that relationship, but we're not there yet. And so if you're yearning for it, it's like maybe you've had a really good taste of something awesome and in your relationship with God, but you're left wanting more. I don't think it's necessarily bad, because you're going to get more. I mean, we're not there. There is a yearning. And the people I know who I really respect faith-wise, that are older or have gone on before us, they note that yearning too. They got that going on as well. So instead of beating yourself up for it, like, why can't I measure up to these other people? I'm seeking God, but I don't feel totally content like these. Maybe, just throwing this out there, maybe it's because we're not there yet. Thank you so much for listening. So honored that you do.
So you do survival school, and someone was listening the other day, and they had sort of a rebuttal for your survival school tip.
Oh, the caught in the Wendy's freezer?
Yes.
Scenario?
That's the one.
Okay.
Hey, Brant and Sherry, this is Barb. I just wanted to share a little information about getting locked in a freezer in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Many, many years ago, they figured out that people do get stuck in freezers either during a robbery or just by accident. And so they installed a release mechanism. So the real survival tactic here mm-hmm. would be to release the mechanism. Sorry for interjecting too much reality. And I love you guys. You make me laugh every day.
We love you too. All right. So there, because you told the person that survival tip was to make a cardboard house.
Right. And live in like a little cardboard
Yeah. There in the freezer forever. So she said there's a wire or a mechanism there. You just pull that, you get right out.
And yeah, I guess we all have choices. I would say that mine's just as valid.
Really?
Yeah, to look at the resources you have and construct a cardboard mm-hmm. insulating house yeah. you can live in.
Or pull the wire and walk out the door.
Either
that's
one.
That's tomato, tomato to you. Okay, got it.
Yeah, either one is valid. We're both equally valid.
All right.
So thank you for the call. I want to talk about prayer a little bit. I got into a discussion the other day. This is just a podcast-only thing. But I got into a discussion with Lisa Anderson with boundless.org.
Oh, yeah. I love Lisa.
The other day. And by got into a discussion, I mean she was interviewing me.
still a discussion.
I don't want you to think I have friends, right?
Still counts.
Yeah, still counts. But she was saying she read this book. Maybe you've read it by Paul Miller. I remember the name. I haven't read the book, but it's about prayer. Hmm. And I guess it's like this epic book about prayer, so I need to get it.
Okay.
But she said she now prays, we should ask her about this, but she said she now prays for parking spots.
Hmm. Why?
Because, now, to me, that your reaction may be the same mm-hmm. as you're listening to this or Sherry's reaction, mm-hmm. and because that's mine too, like, that's immature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, please. Mm-hmm. That's just, in fact, that's the example of an immature prayer.
Okay.
That we would use to cartoonize right. somebody who's being, but she says, I think it's a mature prayer. Because I think God cares about everything we care about, and I don't think he gets tired of his kids approaching him. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the upshot of this prayer book.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, it put in that context, that makes sense to me. I don't know that I
it does
would necessarily
to me too.
Do it, but it does make sense to me. And I think the more that we can understand God as a father— Now, your kids may ask you something, right? And you'd be like, that's ridiculous. That's not happening.
Right.
But you want them to come to you. That's the, at the end of the day, that's the upshot, right?
Yeah.
You want your kids to come to you. And even if you have a discussion about the immaturity of what they've asked you,
right.
you would rather that, right?
Than
them not come to you at all.
Yeah. I think it's really freeing.
Yeah.
I'd rather err on that side. I guess that's the point. Like, so if mm-hmm. my son is like, hey, Dad, can I have a lollipop?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, son, you're an officer in the United States Air Force.
Go get your own lollipop, honey. But thank you for calling. Would you rather
talking.
That? Yes. Wouldn't you rather that than no call?
Yes.
Yes.
Isn't that strange?
Yes. And so if God is our father, I think, again, the more that we can go back to that scripture where it talks about, and if you being evil— know how to do well for your children, basically, how much
Great
more
point. Yeah.
than, so you know what you want from your kids, and to be able to think of that infinitely greater for what God wants with us in relationship.
Right.
I think that's a good way to think of it.
And it also, I think, gets amplified in, reading stories, and I've been rereading some of the Old Testament stuff, but the mm-hmm. interaction that people have with God that is just so, like, conversational.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, no, I don't want to do that, but God, would you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, please don't. Please try this.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens with, like, all of these guys
yeah.
and ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I've gotten more demanding in the last week mm-hmm. with my prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, it may sound immature to you. How dare you demand something? Okay, but I see them interacting with him, and God honors them.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be this theme of his, I don't want to use the word yearning because I'll get beat up for that, but there seems to be this incredible desire to connect to us and us to connect with him.
Yeah. So can we, I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are needs that I know for certain people, my kids,
mm-hmm.
that I'm like, God, now, please,
mm-hmm.
come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, heartbreaking things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I've prayed for this before, and you have not answered. I don't understand. Why would it be so wrong? So this is the actual conversation I'm having.
Yeah.
What would be so wrong with you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I know some people would blanch at that, but that's where I am. And I see, Sherry, that you would sign off on that.
I definitely would. I think that's what relationship is all about. If we're going to look at God as a father, if we're going to look at him as a religious figure, then that's probably not going to work.
Right.
But if we're going to look at him as a father, there's a humility of continuing to go back to him, right?
Yeah. He,
Jesus told the story. This widow keeps going to this judge.
Right.
And will not stop. And she's not, dearest judge. No, she's going in there. Give me justice against my, you know, enemy, oppressor, whoever it was, and kept showing up.
You know what? It's a great point because there is a humility. She could have gotten out. Could she have pulled it off? Probably not. But she could have got a stick.
Yeah.
And gone to beat somebody over the head. Or she could have been, she could have talked to her, you know, son-in-law or something. Like, why don't you go take care of this guy?
Yeah. Yep.
Could have taken it in her own hands.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't. And that's got to be part of the story. Like, it wasn't about vigilante, but there is a humility
to keep going to the person, acknowledging who can fix
it. Right, you're the one that can fix this.
Yes.
I guess I could try to manipulate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say I wanted you to find a friend, for instance, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite would be absurd because you're a friend making machine. But like, let's say I was heartbroken for you because you didn't have any friends,
mm-hmm.
and I could finally be like, okay, I'm going to arrange for Sherry to hang out with this person.
Yeah,
but I'm tired. Like, I want to go to God.
Yes.
Would you give her a friend?
Like, yeah, yeah.
And maybe that's a terrible example.
No, that's a great example. Because it is about humility. I for myself, am alarmed at how many times I am taking things in my own hand and haven't even thought.
Oh, totally. Me too.
About praying about it. Just me. I realize that I have all this weight on my shoulder and that I'm the one that's, because I have decided that I'm going to fix it. I have decided I can do it.
Yeah, so let's not do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I appreciated what Lisa had to say, because at first, again, I'm like, the blood drains out of my face. Like, that's ridiculous. And then I don't think it is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, parking spots. If all of these other things cascade from that idea,
mm-hmm.
that's a good thing. And if I'm going to live in a constant state of interacting with God, that's better than everything's in my own hands. Like,
because that's a disaster.
That is a disaster. And as we get more mature in life, I think we get more childlike. So let's go for it.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.